Thank you so much, Brother John. Okay, how is everybody today? Wonderful, wonderful. You guys had a wonderful weekend, I assume. Alrighty, everyone. So today, my lesson is going to be in the book of John, John chapter 8. I will do my reading of the entire chapter, although just a piece of it is my lesson today. My lesson today is called The Devil's War Plan Against You. Okay? We're going to start our reading, everyone, in John chapter 8. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to John chapter 8, verse 1. I'm going to read the entire chapter because there are several great stories in here I love. Okay, so starting at verse 1, everyone. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people were gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap, in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left. With the woman still standing there, Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Isn't that such a powerful story? There are a few more here in this chapter I'd love to read. So dispute over Jesus' testimony is next. Verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true." And by the way, everyone, this does actually stand even in the court of law today. Two witnesses that state the same fact constitutes as fact in the court of law, if both corroborate with each other, right? So this actually is a law that stands today here in the United States. So let's continue. "I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Now, dispute over who Jesus is next. Verse 21. Once more, Jesus said to them, "I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" But he continued, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins." "Who are you?" they asked. "Just what I have been telling you from the beginning," Jesus replied. "I have much to say in judgment of you. But he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world." They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. Now, here's where my lesson actually begins. Dispute over whose children Jesus' opponents are. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Isn't that true? They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" You see, they didn't understand the level of slavery Jesus was talking about. They didn't understand the level of slavery that society had kept them captive within, that the devil kept them captive in their sin. You see, these Jews could not understand this as Jesus was speaking it. So he was going slightly above their heads. Now let's continue. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you that I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." Now, there is my lesson, everyone, but I will continue. Jesus claims about himself. The Jews answered him, Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" Now, this is also where blasphemy comes into play. This is why one should never blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. "I am not possessed by a demon," Jesus said, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." At this they exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. And are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," they said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "Very truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Now, my point about this is how the devil deceives the people, okay? Look at how blind the people are in this chapter, how blind these people are to the words that Jesus is very clearly telling them, and they still can't accept it. No matter how he phrases his words, it does not receive to these people because they do not hear the words of God. They only hear the words of the liar, the great deceiver, the devil, the father, their father, the devil, the one that they listen to, okay? So let's move on into my lesson, everybody. So today, my lesson is on the devil's tactics, his war plan against you, okay? So today, everyone, we will explore the tactics of the devil as revealed in the Bible, all right? And how he seeks to deceive us, everyone. We will also examine the three temptations he used against Jesus in the wilderness and how we can resist the devil's schemes in our own lives, all right? So firstly, everyone, let's look at the tactics of the devil, all right? So in the Bible, it teaches us that the devil is a liar and the father of lies, as I just read in John chapter 8, verse 44, okay? That he is a master of deception who seeks to lead us astray from the truth of God's word, everyone. He does this by twisting and distorting the truth, making sin seem attractive and desirable, wrapping in a package of false promises and fleeting pleasures, kind of like what the presidents do, okay? The presidents in the United States, they put on this glorious campaign. They make all kinds of promises to the people, but how many of them do they actually fulfill once they're in office, okay? I've heard this story so many times over in my time living in the United States, all right? As a native of the United States, I have seen this over and over again from president to president to president. They all do this. They make glorious promises to the people, but then they never follow through on them, right? They lead you astray in believing that they're going to be a righteous president and leading the country. But do they ever do so? I have yet to see a president in my time that has truly done every single thing they said they were going to do. Okay, so the devil is like that. He will make all kinds of false promises, all right? He will try to lead you with promises of pleasures, promises of glory, promises of money, promises of prosperity. You know, the devil does this time and time again because he uses the same tactics that have always worked on the people since the beginning of time, okay? He hasn't changed his tactics, and I'm going to get into exactly what those tactics are, okay? So one of the devil's favorite tactics, everyone, is to appeal to our fleshly desires. He exploits all of our vulnerabilities, all right? Tempting us with things that seem pleasurable and absolutely satisfying. But ultimately, they lead you to destruction and eternal regret, okay? He tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden with the fruit from the forbidden tree, right? Appealing to her desire for knowledge and power, convincing her to take a bite of that poisonous fruit that would change the course of all human history, condemning humans to death, right? So from then on, women had periods, right? They had menstruation, they had birth pains, and the bite of death became a permanent factor in all of human existence, all right? When people died, it hurt. They also didn't have eternal life up until Jesus, right? And this is because of one of the devil's tactics that he used on Eve, okay? So the devil's tactics, everyone, are very subtle and very seductive, okay? He's very good with his words. He's like a snake, a four-tongued snake, right? They slither their words into your belief, using all kinds of glorious words to turn you away from God, okay? All right, they're all designed to lure us away from the narrow path of righteousness, everyone, and onto the broad road of destruction, okay? He whispers sweet nothings in our ears, okay, telling us that we deserve better, that we should take matters into our own hands, that we should indulge in the pleasures of the flesh, all right? And forget about all of the consequences, all right? That we should just do what we want. What do they say with the Illuminati and all of those people, right? They say that Baphomet says, do as thou wilt, right? Which is basically the devil saying, do whatever you want to do. Go ahead and do this and do that. You'll have no consequences as long as you listen to me and not him above, right? Isn't this what the devil does every time, everyone? All right, so his tactics have never changed, okay? He delivers only bondage and despair to us with the tactics that he uses, guiding us astray from God's promises, okay? But we must, everyone, be vigilant and discerning, recognizing all of the devil's lies for what they are, all right? And standing firm on the truth of God's word, all right? We must resist all of his temptations, all right? We must flee, everyone, from sin, running towards the arms of our loving Savior, okay, who offers us life absolutely abundant, all right? He promises us eternal life, not eternal damnation. He died on the cross to end all of that death that was caused by the first sins in the Garden of Eden, okay? He ended all of that on the cross for every one of you. He did that so that you would have salvation, but you could only have that if you listen to him, if you resist the devil, if you tell the devil to go away, if you read him scripture, and I will get into that here soon. But how, everyone, can we resist the devil's temptations, all right? First, we must be grounded in the Word of God, everyone, knowing all of its truths and promises by heart, all right? We must memorize those scriptures word for word. We must also, everyone, be mindful of our own weaknesses and vulnerabilities, recognizing the areas where we are susceptible to temptation, all right? We all know ourselves very well. We know what we like and what we don't like. We know what tempts us and what doesn't tempt us. But know yourself and be fully aware of all of the templates that the devil could possibly use to steer you astray. All of the things out there that he might use to try to pull you away from that straight and narrow path. You know yourself, not better than God, but better than anybody around you. Okay, so the devil also knows you very well and will use anything. He's been watching you from the very beginning to make sure that you don't find your salvation, to make sure that you don't cross that finish line. He's been studying every single one of you so thoroughly. He knows what makes you tick enough to be able to put a distraction in your way to make you walk off the path. But do not let that steer you astray, okay? When we do sin, everyone, we must repent quickly and thoroughly, seeking forgiveness and cleansing from our merciful God, okay? He uses all of these things to try to steer us away, but one weapon we have is the forgiveness and the grace of God, okay? We must surround ourselves, everyone, with godly influences and accountability, seeking guidance and support also from fellow believers if you have questions, okay? And we have a lot of those here among us right now today in this group alone. If all of you have any questions or comments, feel free to turn to anyone here that knows the scriptures, any one of us that are preaching. We're here as a resource for a reason. You're not alone. Okay, if you feel those temptations and you feel like it is so heavy that you feel you're going to sin, message one of us. Reach out to us and let us know. We will give you some words of encouragement, a prayer to speak, okay? Something to say that will make that devil run away, but do try to reach out to someone. If you don't have anyone around you, we are here. And every one of these pastors here today will give you their numbers, all right? If you need a resource to turn to, we're all here to help you, okay? You're not alone. All right, so anyway, another tactic, everyone, of the devil that he uses is half-truths, okay? He uses a half-lie and a half-truth, okay? Like a forked tongue. Look at my rings. One's dark and one is light, like a half-truth snake, okay? All right, so he splits the truth with a half-lie, manipulating God's word to serve his own nefarious purposes, everyone, okay? He takes verses out of context, distorting their meaning, and uses them as weapons against us, okay? He did this with Jesus in the wilderness, quoting Psalm 91:11 through 12 out of context, trying to goad Jesus into jumping from the temple and testing God's protection, right? The devil's goal is to make us doubt God's goodness, everyone, and his faithfulness, to question his promises and to doubt his love, all right? The devil also employs fear and intimidation, everyone, to control us, okay? Using our own insecurities and our own doubts against us. He whispers lies into our ears, everyone, telling us that we are not good enough, that we will never measure up, all right? That we are failures and will always be failures. He uses our past mistakes and failures to condemn us, keeping us trapped in a cycle of guilt and shame, everyone. He seeks to rob us of our confidence and our joy, to keep us in a state of perpetual bondage and absolute despair, okay? But the devil's tactics don't stop there, everyone. He also uses deceit and manipulation to turn us against each other, all right? Just like in the art of war, divide and conquer was and always is and always has been a method that even countries use against their own people to turn each other against each other, because a divided people cannot fight back against the evil that is actually turning them against each other, right? When they're divided against each other, they fight against each other. But what does it say in the Bible, everyone? A house divided against itself will not stand, right? You cannot divide a house against itself and stand. The devil also cannot be divided against himself and stand, okay? This also applies to him, all right? So he keeps us trapped in a cycle of guilt and shame. All right. He seeks to rob us of our confidence and our joy, to keep us in a state of perpetual bondage always. All right. He manipulates all of us and turns us against each other. He sows seeds of discord and strife, fueling our anger and our resentment towards one another. Okay. He uses our differences to divide us. He even creates differences that make no sense. Okay. Like a thing such as color. All right. What in the world does color mean to anybody? Color means nothing. We're all red underneath. We all bleed the same. Okay. He uses our differences to divide us, everyone, creating an atmosphere of suspicion and mistrust. Okay. He makes us distrust each other, and he uses our own pride and arrogance to make us think we are better than others. Okay. Leading us down a path of self-righteousness and spiritual superiority over one another, when none of us is better than each other. Okay. We're all equal in God's eyes. All right. In addition, everyone, the devil uses the world's values and priorities to distract us from God's truths, okay? He tempts us with the allure of wealth and material possessions, all right? Convincing us of happiness that will come from these material possessions and the fulfillment that comes from external sources, okay? He promotes a culture of self-centeredness and entitlement, leading us further away from God's design for our lives, okay? And he uses the influence of secular ideologies to undermine all of God's words, convincing us that truth is relative and morally is subjective, okay? All right, so we have a powerful weapon, everyone, against all of the devil's tactics, all right? That's the word of God, all right? Jesus showed us how to resist the devil's temptations by quoting scripture and standing firm on God's promises, okay? In the wilderness, everyone, I don't know if you remember this story, but the devil tempted Jesus three times, all right? Trying to exploit his human vulnerabilities, all right, and all of his weaknesses. First, he tempted Jesus to turn stones into bread, all right, appealing to his physical hunger and exhaustion after fasting for 40 straight days and nights, all right. But Jesus responded with scripture, quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, all right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, all right. This was no mere coincidence. Jesus was declaring, everyone, that all of his sustenance came from God's word, all right? Not from earthly desires or temporary fixes like what the devil was trying to get him to do, okay? Secondly, everyone, the devil tempted Jesus to worship him in exchange for all the kingdoms of the world. Now, this one was funny, okay? Trying to appeal to his ambition and desire for power and recognition, all right? But Jesus again quoted scripture, right? Saying, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13, everyone. All right, this was a direct rebuke to the devil, all right, asserting that God alone was worthy of worship and service, all right, and that Jesus would not be swayed by promises of power and prestige. You cannot bribe Jesus with what is already his, okay? You cannot bribe God with his own stuff. And this is what the devil was trying to do, all right? The devil owns nothing in this world, everyone. He owns zero. He owns nada. He owns nothing, all right? God owns everything. You cannot bribe him with a single penny. He created everything, did he not? He created this whole universe. He created every single thing that we have. No, we give thanks to him, not the devil, for what we have. All good gifts come from heaven, it says in the Bible. All right? All good gifts come from God. They do not come from the devil. The devil cannot give good gifts. He only gives evil gifts. He gives gifts to steer you off course and to damn you. All right? His gifts are not gifts at all. All right? His gifts are poison to our souls. All right? We are not here to accept any offerings or gifts from the devil. We do not worship the devil. We worship God. We worship the Lord. All right, so he cannot bribe God with his own stuff. He cannot bribe us with God's stuff. Okay, finally, everyone, the devil tempted Jesus to jump from the temple, okay? I don't know if you all remember this story from the Bible, but he was trying to get him to test God's protection and doubt his faithfulness, okay? But Jesus responded with scripture again, quoting Psalm 91, 11 through 12 in context, saying, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." This was a powerful declaration, everyone, that Jesus would not be manipulated into doubting God's goodness or testing any of his limits, okay? By using scripture to resist the devil's temptation, everyone, Jesus showed all of us by example that the Word of God is a mighty weapon in our spiritual battles, all right? That Bible in your hands is a powerful weapon, and that we can trust in its truth and its power to guide us through life's challenges and all of its trials, everyone, all right? Evangelists, we too can resist the devil's temptations by standing firm on God's word, just as Jesus did in the wilderness, all right? We must memorize, everyone, scripture and meditate on all of it daily. That is our bread, okay? We must feed our souls with those scriptures. Those scriptures are our shield. They are our sword, everyone. All right, so that we are equipped, everyone, to respond to all of the devil's lies with the truth of God's word, all right? By hiding all of God's words in our hearts, everyone, we will be ready to counter all of the devil's attacks with the sword of the Spirit. We will be able to recognize his deceitful tactics, everyone, and respond with the authority of God's word, refuting his lies with the power of truth. Remember this. So, closing up, everyone, my lesson today has been on all of the devil's tactics, all right? In summary, the devil uses a variety of tactics to deceive us, in fact, all right, including appealing to all of our fleshly desires, using half-truths and instilling fear and intimidation. He tries to manipulate us into doubting all of God's goodness and questioning all of his promises and distorting his character. But we have the power to resist him, everyone, through the word of God, all right, through the blood of the Lamb. We can quote scripture back to the devil whenever he tempts us, okay? Declaring God's truth, our reliance on his strength, and our confidence in his victory, all right? May us, everyone, be victorious in our struggle against the devil, all right? And may we bring glory to God in our lives as we stand firm on his promises. Wield the sword of the Spirit. Triumph over the devil's schemes, okay? May our lives, everyone, be a testament to the power of God's word, the efficacy of his blood, and the defeat of the devil's plans as we walk in the light, his truth, and reflect the glory of his presence, everyone. As we resist the devil's temptations and stand firm on God's word, may we experience, everyone, the joy and the peace that comes from living in obedience to God. May our faith be strengthened, everyone, our hope renewed, and our love for God deepened, all right? And may we be a light in the darkness, everyone, shining the light of God's truth and his love to a world that desperately needs it, everyone. Let us remember that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms, okay? But thanks to God who gives us the victory through our Lord, everyone. May we be faithful soldiers in the army of God, fighting the good fight with faith and standing firm in the face of temptation and adversity. To God be all the glory, everyone, now and forever. Amen, everyone, and hallelujah. Thank you for your time today. Thank you so much, everyone.